Blog Talk Radio.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Film Festival Radio Show with me, Janice Malone, here. And just as our theme song says, this is the show where future stars and superstars happily coexist together. And our featured guest for this show is definitely on the trail and the track for becoming a superstar. His music is just amazing. We have already enjoyed his music and so many commercial ventures as far as jingles and television and film soundtracks. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But our featured guest for this show is composer, musician, songwriter, producer, Lino. He's one of those special artists who does not need a last name. You know, this one name celebrities share, Prince, I guess we can say Mariah. They just have so much talent. They just need one name. That's it. That's all they need. And so Lino is one of those very special, talented performers. And as I said, he has a brand new CD that is out called Cascadia. And it is a follow-up, a long-awaited follow-up, I should say, to his previous recording, Miami Jam, which is got so many great rave reviews. And if you'd like to get or purchase the music, you can go to Lino's website. It's linomusic.com. And you can purchase the music. You can hear samples, preview samples, and get just even more information about our featured guests. Cascadia, this is back to the current CD. It's a collection of original instrumentals featuring the acoustic guitar sound, classical jazz guitars, combined with saxophones and strings. I love music that has string instruments on it, like violins and such. I just love it. It just gives so much depth to a song. But Lino is, as I said, he's a very multi-talented musician. He has been studying music. Started off in classical music, believe it or not, since he was a young, little small Lino. He was just a little boy and just continued on, studied music extensively, and then, you know, blended the genres into jazz, classical, some pop music along the way. But he has a very, very extensive list of credits of different projects that his music has been featured on. Here's just, it would take me all night to just list all of them, but these are just a few projects and events where you and I and the whole world has heard his music. National Geographic Channel, Fox Sports, Major League Baseball, Fox Sports, National Hockey League, Showtime, the Showtime Television Network, different broadcasts, Cinemax, the Travel Channel, the Golden Globe Awards Countdown, the Emmy Awards, Cold Case 2, Dr. 90210, Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, MTV shows, VH1 Presents, Hollywood Blackmail, America's Ugliest Bedrooms, I remember that, Celebrity Weddings, oh my God, it's just a long, long list of where this young man's music has appeared on so many national, international television shows and films. As I said, we would be all night if I listed and just named everything that his music has appeared in that we have heard. But if you want to get more specific, you can go and purchase a copy of his latest, Cascadia, And I know that this is music that you will thoroughly enjoy. It's so relaxing. It's music that will put you in the mood for, you know, just kind of bring up your spirits. We've got so much chaos, evil, and craziness in our society. And it's so good to have music like this to just push your whole mindset, your whole emotional level into a whole different, just a different mood. You know, it just mellows you up. I would suggest get a glass of your favorite wine or beverage. Now, don't get drunk, okay? But, you know, just something to mellow you out. Maybe it's tea for some people. Maybe for some people it's, you know, your favorite cup of Java or coffee, tea, or whatever. And just put on Cascadia, Nino's latest CD, and it, I promise you, you will just mellow out and go, yeah, this is it. I mean, this is really cool. This is really, it should push your mind in a whole different space and time. That's all I'm saying. So what we're going to do is we're going to roll the interview that I did with Lino just a few days ago as he and I talk about his variety of places that his music has appeared and been placed, as well as his current CD, Cascadia. And one of my favorite topics that we're going to talk about is fishing. Yes. A lot of people don't know I love fishing. My mom is, and I love fishing, both of us. I got that from her, I guess. But Lino, when he is not fishing, working on music, I should say, he really enjoys fishing on the lake. Yeah, he loves lake freshwater fishing, and he has one great fish story that he's going to tell me that you just cannot miss this. But if you'd like to, in addition to purchase the music, if you'd like to schedule or book Lino for concerts or special events or just, you know, whatever your entertainment need might be for some great music, I suggest that you go to his website. That's linomusic.com. And there you can find how to reach his booking agent, his manager, and just say, hey, I heard this young man's music. I love it. I've heard it on different television shows and commercials and films and such. And I'd like to do a concert. I'd like for him to do a concert for me or with me. That's where you can find the information. But in the meantime, I suggest again to purchase Cascadia, his latest CD. And I promise you that you will thoroughly enjoy the music. Even if you're doing something stressful, like maybe catching up on your taxes or something, this is some great music. In all seriousness, it really is some good music to put you in a real positive, upbeat, and mellowed out mood. So without any further delay, we're going to roll my interview that I conducted recently, just a few days ago, with internationally acclaimed recording artist, musician, producer extraordinaire, guitar virtuoso, Lino. So let's roll the interview right now. Let's just start by talking about the current new album, CD, that's out.
Okay.
And you've got others prior to this one. So in what ways, for you personally, is this one different, and what changes or differences did you make in the putting together of this current project?
Well, I would say, in a way, it's very similar to the other albums because I borrow from all these different genres. But I will say it's different in the sense that I was inspired from different things. In this last record, I had moved from Los Angeles to Oregon, and I never liked the big city, and I'm in a place of such beauty and such wonderful people here, the mountains and the rivers, oh man, and the lakes, and I love to fish and the outdoors, and it's just a whole different type of people here than there are in the bigger cities like LA, and it's just been such a peaceful transition in my life to move from Los Angeles to Oregon. And I think that I would say that is, on a general answer, that is the biggest difference, because when I was inspired to write music when I was in Los Angeles, I never had any of this kind of beauty of nature and things like that. So as you can look, so if you see the record, a lot of the titles, you know, relate to the area here. A couple are named for rivers, and the Cascadia is the general term for the region up here. So as far as inspiration, that was totally different. As far as stylistically, I would say that I still keep a lot of the same vein going when I'm borrowing from. I borrow from jazz, from classical, from Latin, from rock, and I kind of throw it all together so it becomes something that's a little bit hard to categorize. And I'm still doing that. Now, Marcia thinks that this is my best work. I honestly have no idea if it is, but I very much enjoyed doing it. And I'm giving you a too long-winded answer, aren't I?
No, you are not. I mean, I love the long-winded answers because it just helps me to learn more about who I'm talking to. So, yeah, feel free to talk.
Well, thank you. I'm sure you can edit out the little gems in that because I'll try to keep it a little more not so verbose.
Oh, that's okay.
Did I answer close enough for you, though?
I think you did an excellent job. I absolutely do.
Okay.
Now, how long did it take you to put all the working parts and pieces together for this current CD?
Well, that's an interesting question that kind of goes into another one, a different type of answer. It took a long time because there was many years between my last album, Miami Jam, and this album. And what went into this was, I got to be honest, when I moved up here, I took a break from Leno music because once I moved to Oregon and I kind of took my reputation with me, especially what I can do in a studio at a very reasonable price, I had artists from all over coming to me wanting me to produce them. So I gave about 5 years of complete focus to other artists to take my experience or my talents, whatever you want to call it, and apply it to their music. So this record was actually just put on hold for many years. I didn't mind working with other people's music. I get just as big a kick out of seeing someone else's vision come to life as my own. I love being just a part of the whole creative process. But about a year and a half ago, I had these songs sitting around, and I just had to get disciplined and say, okay, I have to put everybody else off for a while. I have to finish this because my fans have been asking for years for me to put new material out. So I do most everything by myself in my studio, except for hiring a couple other players. I had a really, really great drummer. Now, this guy's been a friend of mine forever. One of probably my best musician friend I have. His name is Chris Frazier, and his discography is huge. He's playing, I think, with the band Foreigner right now.
Oh, wow.
But he's played with a bunch of people. Yeah, he's just my buddy Chris to me, and when I do a record, we've done about 12 records together. And when I told him about this, I sent him the tracks. I prepped the tracks here, and I sent them to him, and I think he was in L.A. at the time. And then he'd play the drum parts and send them back to me by email. That's how we do it now. We don't have to fly people out anymore. And his drums added a lot to the record. And this really great saxophone player in town here, his name is Andy War. He is a top-notch sax player, in a local Central Oregon guy. But he's known outside of Oregon for sure, but his talent should be nationally known. He's very good. And I had a couple other players, but for the most part, I do all the instruments myself, other than those two guys.
Well, that is amazing.
And yeah, that was the process. So, did I answer that one okay?
Yeah, you did. But you're right. It is so amazing how technology has enabled people to not fly all halfway around the world. You can just put it in a file and email it. That's it.
Oh, it's wonderful. You can get musicians anywhere in the world.
Uh-huh.
And technology goes another step up. And this is kind of, it's just maybe on the side, but it may make a really good article for you one day if you like this subject. But the nature of the music business has become where it has become so affordable for people to buy gear in home to make records with.
Uh-huh.
Because back in the day, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you would have to spend enormous amounts of money to go into a huge studio, say in Los Angeles or Nashville or someplace, with recording devices that are the size of washing machines,
yes,
washers and dryers, 2-inch tape, and the cost was outrageous. The only people who could really afford to do it were people who had investment people behind them or a record label, because the recording process was so expensive. And now it has all been computerized, digitized, and everything else to where, you know, the actual tools are affordable, for $10,000, you can start up a home studio and sound fairly good. Now, of course, you need to know what you're doing, because just because you have the gear doesn't mean that you're going to know what you're doing. So they still need experience. So all these people out here now in the music world are making all this music, and it's coming out thousands of CDs a day, mm-hmm. and they're all putting it online, which is wonderful for the artist that they can finally get their vision recorded at an affordable price. But now the whole internet is just saturated with white noise of so many musical pieces, you know, so much music out there. And actually the same thing applies to film. People are making their own films because they have the editing software, Final Cut Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the nature of entertainment and art has completely changed, drastically with the computer revolution. I'm really off topic now, aren't I?
No, you're not. You're bridging to my next question, because you mentioned films. And I looked at your placement, music placement page, and it is just staggering, the amount of projects that your music from film and television. Oh, my goodness. I guess you can turn on the television almost any time, any channel, and hear some of your music. Have you done that or what?
You know, it's funny. Oh, yeah, no, I've done that. I don't really look for it. It's just so when it comes up, it's a surprise. But I'll tell you, a lot of those shows, mm-hmm. I've been out of my I haven't made CDs in so many years. A lot of those shows, they're now like franchised out to other nations. If you turn the TV on in, let's say, Finland or mm-hmm. Peru, you'll probably start hearing those tunes again. I still get paychecks from Estonia and Lithuania and things like that. So it is kind of funny. But, yes, it is kind of a trip to hear your music on TV. And I remember it was a big deal the first time it happened, and now it's just kind of like your job now. And a lot of those placements happened years ago, so hopefully this new record will renew some interest in the new material, and we'll get on some more shows. And Marcia's really trying to help us out with that, so that's a hope. We've got our fingers crossed.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's certainly no reason why it should not happen. I mean, you've got such an amazing, stellar track record with film. You really do. I looked at that. I said, oh, my God, I'll be reading this all day so much, which is good. But so now for the current CD, is there a promotional tour planned, or is there a music tour planned, or what's that all about for your fans?
Okay, well, I'll tell you what I used to do. I used to try to get overseas. I did tours in Europe a couple times, Austria and Italy, and then I did a lot in Southern California, and I even went back east. And I'll be honest with you, since I've come to Central Oregon, most of my live performances have been in Oregon, because in order to travel and put on a tour, especially with instrumental music in a genre that is very small,
mm-hmm.
but very dedicated fans, the venues are generally not huge. And in order to buy, the costs of travel these days to get on a plane and get a hotel and get a passport mm-hmm. and get a band together and pay them enough, there's almost no way to work it out financially where you're not going to be risking possibly losing money.
Right.
So those are real. Making tours are not like it was when I was a kid. That's what everybody mm-hmm. did, and there was like, what, three channels on the TV?
Yes.
And so everyone went out to concerts. When their new band came in town, they packed the place, and people would go out to be entertained by music and venues, you know, and they pay the money, so there was money to pay bands to tour. Now there's 500 channels and the internet, and people stay home to be entertained. And it's completely changed the whole face of how you tour. Now, certain genres, I'm sure, like country and certain, you know, rap and hip-hop stuff, they can mm-hmm. pull in larger audiences. But so, honestly, as far as touring goes, I'm going to do a lot of dates in Oregon this summer.
Okay.
Marcia's probably going to pull me out to Arkansas and the Midwest at some point next fall. And I'm going to kind of sit back and look for opportunities. What I will do for a tour is, if the CD starts doing well, or there's a promoter or a booking agency that sees this style and it's getting played on the radio and they want to pull me on board to some festivals, absolutely I'll go do it. But I don't plan my own tours anymore. It's just too much of a financial risk. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of musicians and bands are really focusing more on local performances than trying to get out and, you know, depending on the genre they're in.
Wow. Well, it sounds like your music would be really cool for, like, Montreux Jazz Fest or Newport Beach Jazz. It just seems like it would just fit in so well.
You know, and I played a couple of those. Neither the ones you mentioned. I'm trying to remember which one. It was years ago. And yes, it kind of fits into that. But I hear the reality of that is, and you probably don't want to put this in the article, but just between you and me.
I do not blame you. Well, now, I was looking at your bio, and you started off studying guitar as what, 9, 10 years old?
Something like that, yeah.
But I was wondering, over the years, as you became a teen and, you know, your early 20s and such, who were some of the great guitar masters that you were influenced by?
Well, I'll tell you, my training started in classical, and I learned a little jazz, too, but when I hit my early teens, I discovered rock music like every other teenager.
Yeah.
And so that was it for me.
Mm-hmm.
This instrumental music I do now is kind of a second career for me. I did my whole first career doing rock, heavy rock,
okay,
melodic rock, progressive rock. And I was signed in a couple bands. We went overseas and played some tours and did recording in Germany. And there's a whole nother backstory to what I did before this stuff, but that's a whole nother thing. My guitarists that I was interested in when I grew up, they were pretty much all rock guitar players. I never really got into like a specific classical guitar player or a jazz guy, but the rock guitar players that I liked, all of them, well, at least most of them, they were very stylistic, and a couple of them also played very well at classical and jazz, which is where I am borrowing from now.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the most influential band, and when you listen to my music, you wouldn't think this, but it was a band called Rush.
I've heard of them.
And I love those guys. And then the guitar player, Alex Lifeson, was probably my biggest guitar hero.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another band from Toronto called Triumph. And the guitar player from that band is probably the guy I most closely try to emulate, because his name's Rick Emmett. And he's a very excellent guitarist in a bunch of styles. But he doesn't pick just one. I mean, he was a rock guitarist first, and now he does classical and jazz, a lot of jazz. And he was able to be versatile, and that's what appealed to me about him, his versatility. Because I like to play in all different styles. I'm a master of nothing. I'm not a master jazz player. I'm not a master classical guitar player. I just borrow, and I use my composing from to kind of pull all these styles together, and I just do what I like. Other guitar players that I really liked back then, I think it was a growing up, I really liked the stylistic way that the Edge plays for U2.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fancy, it's not fast, it's not flashy, but it's very, very, it really appeals to me what he does and how he does it in his own, and it's really him. Every time you hear his guitar, you know it's him. I love that about him. And Eddie Van Halen, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Because every time you hear him play, you know it's Eddie.
Yes.
And so those are the guys that I like as far as being individual players. And as far as versatile players, Alex Lifeson, Rick Emmett. Those four guys inspired me.
So over the years, have you had an opportunity to meet any of your guitar heroes?
You know what's really funny about that? Is I played with a bunch of guys that were, I was one person away from meeting them, and I could have met them, but I didn't want to.
No way.
I was nervous. I didn't know if I wanted I just held them in such high regard. I toured with a band, and I worked with a band. Their name is Saga, okay? And they're from Toronto, too, and they're the same age as those guys in Rush, and I became really good friends with them, and they know Rush, and they know
mm-hmm.
these guys, and one of my old producers was friends with the guys in Rush, and also with the band Triumph and Rick Emmett. I just never pushed to try to meet them. I don't know. It was just a little intimidating. Maybe one day I will. I mean, you know.
Oh,
I never
funny.
Met Eddie Van Halen. I knew his guitar tech. I didn't know him. I knew his singer, Gary Cherone, from... what was the band he was in? Extreme? I'm trying to remember what he was in before he joined Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
And then who was the other guy? I don't know. I've never met anyone from U2. But no, I never got the chance to. I met some amazing players. I mean, hang out with Carmine Appice for the great drummer and all those guys from Saga. I mean, I met a ton of great guitar players in L.A., but my personal heroes, maybe they should stay maybe on the shelf, kind of like as...
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
Really?
But maybe one day, if it happened, I guess I'd welcome it. I'd just be really nervous, I guess.
Oh, you probably, the edge would leave off. I've had as many people, hundreds and hundreds of people that I've interviewed,
it's something about when you finally meet that hero, your favorite actor, whatever, and then the shininess wears off. So I think you're right. Maybe just keep him at a distance or something.
I'm just going to let fate decide. If I happen to bump into him at some place, I'll be thrilled. And if I don't, that's fine. I'll just leave my worship of them as it is. Yeah, because they're just human like everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
You meet somebody, they're just people.
They really are. Well, I had a couple of last questions here. You mentioned that you now live in beautiful Oregon, and you love to go fishing. What's the largest fish so far that you've caught? Largest trout?
Okay, the largest trout or the largest fish?
Because that's right, they have a lot of salmon. Okay, largest fish.
Okay, I went fishing, and it took two of us to do this. Me and my buddy Billy, who's my percussion player, he and I landed at a 12-foot-long, 400-plus-pound sturgeon.
No way.
In the Columbia River. Yeah, I got photos on my Facebook of the thing breaking water.
Oh, my goodness.
The biggest fish. It was like weightlifting. We were there all afternoon. It pulled us all up, like 2 or 3 miles down, up and down the river.
Oh,
but we got it in, took some photos, and let it go. Yeah, 400-some pounds. We estimated it. It was bigger than the boat. We couldn't get it in. There's no way to get it in.
I would have been scared.
You know what's crazy about those fish? They're like a shark because they're all cartilage. They don't have any teeth. There's nothing to be afraid of, really. But they are actually the oldest freshwater fish still alive. When the Tyrannosaurus Rex was cruising around, these things were in the river, and they looked the same. They haven't changed. They have not evolved because they are the perfect. They're just the perfect design by nature. They've not needed to evolve, and they've just gotten bigger. And we don't even know how long they live because we think 150 to 200 years. Because and fish that are cartilaginous, that are all cartilage, they grow their entire lives. They don't stop growing. So these things get to be like 20 feet long.
Oh my goodness! So that one probably is still growing somewhere.
Well, he's probably kind of a middle adult type of thing, I guess. I don't know. But, that's the sturgeon in the Columbia River. But I catch all kinds of fish. I catch a lot of rainbow trout, steelhead, brown trout, salmon. My favorite fish to catch, though, is the steelhead, I have to admit.
What's the biggest steelhead you've caught?
Biggest steelhead? I haven't gone to the rivers with the biggest ones yet, but my biggest one's 32 inches.
They catch
them up to like the high 30s, 38, 39, I think. It depends where you go. But for my river here, that's a pretty nice size one, 32 incher.
You know what's one of my favorite television shows? River Monsters. I love
that. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. That guy is amazingly Oh, my God. Looking at those tiger fish with those teeth that look like nails or something is just freaky.
Oh, I know. No, and they're really that crazy. I mean, and you think about it. I heard a story about the Columbia River, which right here at the Columbia River, where I caught the sturgeon, that they went down there looking for some plane wreck or something, and they said that they saw sturgeon there that were over 20 feet long, and their mouths were so big that the divers got scared and went. They were afraid they'd get sucked in.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, we're talking 25-foot fish on the bottom of a river? Crazy.
No, I didn't even know a river could hold something that big. Oh, my goodness.
Well, the Columbia is a massive river. I mean, it is big. It's on the line of the Mississippi type of thing. It's a big river.
Yeah, anything connected to the Mississippi River is always kind of crazy. Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, river monsters. But, no, those great big ones, that's just weightlifting. That's not angling. What you want to do is you want to fish with a fly rod and try to land a steelhead. That's the thrill.
Oh.
I don't know if we're talking fishing now. Do you also do articles on fishing? Because we can go into that right away.
You know what? I've never done a fishing article, but I like watching it on television for some crazy reason. I just love it. They're just doing.
Oh, you know what? If you talk to Marcia again, ask her where she caught her first fish. She was out here not too long ago, and I took her out to one of the rivers, and she caught her first fish, and she about had a heart attack. She loved it.
She's hooked now, so to speak. Well, this is my last question here.
Okay.
When people listen to your current project, what would you like for them to walk away with when they hear this great music?
I guess I'd want them just to walk away with having, hopefully embracing all the elements from the different styles, mm-hmm. and just letting the music do what it's intended to do. I wanted people to be inspired, relaxed, entertained. Like my theory is this, and the bottom line for me is this, I think anyone who goes into the arts, they want to entertain people. They want to give the people a better quality of life, and that's important, you know. And I believe that any artist is the same. I mean, a writer uses words, you know, a painter uses colors, musicians use notes, frequencies in the air, vibrations, you know, architect uses stone and wood. These are things that are all trying to achieve the same purpose, is to bring, you know, make life a little more joyous, a little more light, a little more fun, a little more inspiring. And whenever I make a record or I play a performance, that's really all I'm trying to get, just to let people get a little bit of escape from the daily routine and entertain them. I guess that's what I'd say.
Mission accomplished. I forgot to ask you this really quick question. Any particular
sure.
song or two on this project that you would recommend for, say, a wedding? Some music, wedding reception?
Wedding.
Yeah, say wedding reception.
In terms of like a ceremony?
Yeah.
Like during the walking down the aisle?
Yeah.
Let me go through that. None of the smooth jazz stuff, I don't think. You know what? For a short little... It's just not a long enough piece, but I did these three short little classical pieces, a short study in E minor and a short study in D major could be nice background music for a ceremony. Farewell's a really sweet song, but it's a little bittersweet. It may be a little bit too, it's very emotional, but it may be a little too sad, but that would be one to look into as well.
Okay.
Sacred River could possibly work for that too.
Okay.
Those would be the only ones on there, I think, off the top of my head.
And where can people get this great project? How can they get it?
I'm hoping it's online right now, but I would direct them. We're trying to get the website updated and connect it to my record label, and the record label is supposed to have it in stock. So we're in the process right now of getting that all set up, but hopefully by the time your article comes out, I would say first thing to go to linomusic.com, and hopefully we'll have the links already for the direct sales.
Okay.
And they can check out the music there. That's probably the best place to start. Or they can go to my record label, eversound.com.
Okay.
And it should be available on one of their pages. And it's going to be online, available, like I'm sure, through iTunes and Amazon and all these things. It's just very early in the release right now, and I don't know if all that is quite set up. But
okay. Very
soon it will be available online.
Well, great. There's a lot of great outlets to find it. And I know your fans all over the world already probably are on top of where to get it, because they've been waiting for almost, 5 years now? So
longer than that, yeah. I mean, they've been waiting forever. I kind of fell off the radar.
Uh-huh.
But it was a break I needed, because
yeah.
I got burned out writing all this stuff and doing it all myself, and I needed to go get my head into some other places
sure.
to get inspired again.
And you found it.
I'll keep doing more records. I just got pulled into doing stuff for other people. But that's also been, that's a whole other article, but that mm-hmm. was also very rewarding experience for me.
Well, it sounds like that you have found some great natural inspiration being there now in Oregon. And
for sure.
We can only just anticipate that future music is going to be even better. So,
well, let's hope so.
Well, anyway, Lino, thank you so much for the chat. And I'll never forget that sturgeon story. Oh, my God.
Well, I got a photo of it, and I will send it to you, of it breaking water. In fact, let me give you my personal email.
Okay, I will definitely write you for that photo. And once again, thank you so much for the chat and the great music. And give my regards to Marsha also.
I will do, and thank you for the opportunity. It was fun. It was a fun interview.
Really fun chatting with you, too, and I'll send you that email shortly.
Right on. All right, thanks, Janice.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was internationally acclaimed recording artist, musician extraordinaire, Lino. Isn't he a really cool guy? Oh, my God. I told you he had a fantastic fish story about this huge sturgeon
Oh my God, I did. Again, as I told him, I am such a fan of the show River Monsters that comes on the Animal Planet channel. And you know, anytime I see a huge fish in fresh water, I just go, yeah, okay. And to hear somebody that I'm talking to who has actually caught a fish that big, it was just fascinating to me. But anyway, back to the business at hand. No more fish stories. But Leno, what beautiful, what can you imagine if you already live in the Pacific Northwest? Can you just imagine being this talented musician, and you have the beauty of Oregon surrounding you, the whole Pacific Northwest? If you cannot get inspired to create in those surroundings, then you know what, your creative meter needs adjusting. So I don't blame Leno at all for getting away from the big city of Los Angeles and just going north to create this wonderful piece of music that he has released. And again, the title of the CD is Cascadia, and it's a long-awaited follow-up, 5 years. So his fans have been very patient, and I think the wait is definitely worth it when you listen to Cascadia. And as I said earlier, before the interview with him began, this is a great piece of music to just chill and mellow out. I call it chillo. Yes, chill, mellow, chillo. This is some chillo music to, just relax and just unwind. This weekend will be a great time for you to go to his website, Lino, L-I-N-O, music.com. Place your order. You can download it immediately and just sit back, get you a cup of tea or some wine or something, and just enjoy. That is my gift to you, my gift suggestion to you. Okay, and drop Leno a line, lenomusic.com, and you can get in touch with him. Say, hey, we heard your interview on Film Festival Radio. And once again, if you'd like to book him for a concert or what have you, go to the website, lenomusic.com, and you can find all of that great information right there, along with purchasing some of his earlier music. This is his fourth release, but there are other music that he's created as well. And, oh, my God, all of these different areas of entertainment where his music has been placed, television commercials, television shows, television films, he's just all over the place. Every time I'm sure that we turn on the television, we probably have heard some of his music in one form or another. But again, we want to thank Leno for joining us, for being our featured guest on this edition of Film Festival Radio Show. We want to thank you, of course, for listening. And tune in for our next show, which will be next Friday. And we will have a television host, style expert Ty Beauchamp, and she has a new show that is that has premiered on the TLC channel called Wear or Dare, and she will be joining us to talk about this new show, helping ladies to get that makeover that a lot of us need from time to time. It's a brand new show, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun and very, very helpful. Anyway, the lady again, the host is Ty Beauchamp. Some people call her Beauchamp. Last name is Haitian French, I understand. So I guess it depends on what region of the country you're in. But again, the show is Dare or Wear on the TLC channel. So that's going to do it for this edition of Film Festival Radio Show. Once again, I want to thank my featured guest, recording artist, producer, and musician, the one and only Leno. Only needs one name. The talent fills in the rest. So, Leno, thank you for the music. Thank you for the chat. And thank you for the great fish story as well. So we will see you guys on our next show. Have a great weekend and play it safe. We'll see you guys next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.